This has got to be the worst intro song because it takes forever to get you going on the Monty Show. What's up on a Friday? Yeah, it is January 26th, and we've got a lot to talk about today. Hello, YouTube Live. Hello, Periscope Live on Twitter. Good to be with you. This song will start eventually.
Right here. It's perfect. See?
Oh, it's Eminem. How can it be bad?
You asked for Mom's Spaghetti, and I delivered.
Yeah, Mom's Spaghetti. There you go. We knew a real estate agent who used this song as a theme song, and she literally would call it Mom's Spaghetti, which we used to tease her about. But it's
fun. Are we awful human beings?
We are terrible human beings. And by the way, we're going to talk about people like Tiger Woods at Michigan State today. So, you know, it just sounds like it sounds like he's saying Mom's Spaghetti.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Michigan State today. We have got Tiger Woods making the cut at the Farmers Classic today. We've got the NBA All-Star captains. Jake's got a great way, by the way, to fix the NBA All-Star game selection. Jamil Hill's leaving SC6, or I've never heard of SC6. I don't know what that is. Lonzo Ball's a rapper, and I'm not getting a flu shot. By the way, don't tase me, bro. Or I'm sorry, don't use an electronic control device to control or hold me down.
Whoa.
Or something
whoa.
Like that.
Whoa.
So the worst bumper music ever. Yeah, lose yourself in the Monty Show. Find me on Twitter, MONTY, the Monty Show. MONTY. The Monty Show is where you find me on Twitter. I turned the wrong knob down.
That would be an electronic control device.
Indeed it would. Jake, let's get into this Michigan State thing. And I know we're starting with kind of a heavy topic today, which is not something we usually do, but we're going to try and get through this quick because I know that when we talk about Larry Nassar and Michigan State that this is far from ideal, and it's not probably what you're excited about on your drive home or whenever you're listening to this late January podcast. But my point is, Michigan State, if you don't know this, Michigan State employed Larry Nassar, the now infamous sexual predator of USA Gymnastics. Mm-hmm. They employed him as an athletic trainer. And as it turns out, as many as six athletes accused Nassar of sexual assault in one form or another. They went to Michigan State. They went through the proper channels at Michigan State. And Michigan State has no evidence and nobody affiliated with the university that ever took the time to investigate any of those six allegations. Furthermore, when there were lawsuits and Title IX disputes and investigations, the Department of Justice was and is on campus in East Lansing. Michigan State and its president and its athletic director, who, by the way, resigned today, have no evidence that they actually supplied documents or helped the investigation. In fact, there's evidence they covered it up. And it's not just Larry Nassar. It's, holy cow, Michigan State football and basketball. Since 2007, 16 Michigan State football players have been accused of abusing women. Tom Izzo had an assistant coach accused of punching a female Michigan State student in the face. Izzo did not fire him.
Yeah.
That same assistant kept his job and then was accused of sexual assault again. It's a culture of cover-ups at Michigan State. And this is just like Penn State all over again. And this is my biggest fear, that institutions like Penn State, Michigan State, they know that there are no significant penalties. I still don't believe that Penn State paid a heavy price for what went on with the football program there, with Jerry Sandusky and covering it up and everything that went into that. I still don't believe they paid a price for that.
Right.
I don't believe that there will be any penalties handed down to Michigan State that they can't deal with or will damage them in any way.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on how you quantify damaging the program. For me, quantifying that is you take away titles, you take away anything memorable that this program did while all these things were going on because they knew about all this, dirty, illegal activity, just grotesque activity. And when that type of thing happens, I mean, there's a laundry list of things or of institutions who have gone through this, and Michigan State is just the latest. So the bigger question for me is at some point, the NCAA has to start doing something about this. I don't feel like if something continues to happen and you, the NCAA, don't stop it, at what point are you at fault?
I think they're at fault now. There have been issues with enforcement at the NCAA level for decades.
Yeah.
And abuse of power for decades. It's almost a way of life at the NCAA. Nobody does anything about it.
Which I don't understand. Why is that? I mean, we're always talking about Roger Goodell in the NFL and how he's inconsistent with discipline. This is the same idea. I mean, at some point there has to be a, hey, this is the end. This is where the buck stops with all this stuff. The death penalty, like, it's over. Like, if something like this happens in your program and you not only did nothing about it but tried to hide it, I mean, at some point, it's got to go that far.
What did we talk about on the show yesterday? Apple and the NSA and the government spying on our cell phones. And what was your answer to that? Well, what are you going to do about it? I'd say the same thing about Michigan State and Penn State and Arizona and this basketball pay for play with recruit scandal. What are you going to do about it?
If Michigan, you're us or if you're the NCAA?
If you're the NCAA. Nothing. Why would you do anything about it if you're the NCAA? We're going to have to slap you on the wrist. You know, Mike D'Antoni might have to retire or, you know, resign. We'll get you another job or we'll get another coach in there. No big deal. You know, like, there's no consequences in the NCAA, in the world of the NCAA, there's no consequences. Penn State's playing football. They're getting top recruits. They're competing for national championships. They're playing in Rose Bowls. Like, there's no... Does anybody think about the victims, Jerry Sandusky's victims?
No.
Does anybody think about Jerry Sandusky's victims who have committed suicide? Does anybody think about the fact that Michigan State is all but proven to have covered up? And really, if you want to get real serious about this, Michigan State co-signed, allowed, fostered, enabled, helped Larry Nassar sexually assault allegedly 6 women at Michigan State and did nothing about it. And now, oh, we got caught. Nah, some people have to resign. All right, go Sparty. All right, yeah, tournament's coming up. Tom Izzo's awesome. That's what
I
mean.
Like, yeah, I guess you can, the NCAA can take that standpoint, but eventually the tides will turn. Eventually it has to happen.
Tom Izzo has had an assistant coach punch a female student in the face at Michigan State. Did not fire him. That same assistant coach would later sexually assault or be accused of sexual assault. Isn't Tom Izzo as culpable as that assistant coach because he enabled him?
Yeah.
Isn't Joe Paterno as guilty as Jerry Sandusky because he knew what Sandusky was doing to those kids and didn't stop him?
Yes.
Isn't Michigan State as guilty? And everybody says, oh, well, everybody on the board at USA Gymnastics resigned today or will resign. Okay. What are you going to tell Allie Reisman? What are you going to tell all the women that Larry Nassar, oh, well, he's going to jail and he's going to be raped in prison. Great. What are you going to say to the victims? They got 15 minutes of feeling good about it. Now they got to go back to sleep tonight and have nightmares about Larry Nassar again.
Yeah.
What do you say husbands? What do you say to their husbands, their parents, their moms, their dads, their friends?
I mean, you're never going to make it right. There is no making these type of actions right.
But when are we going to stop it? When are we going to say to Penn State, you're never playing football again? When are we going to say to Michigan State, you have no athletic program for 5 years? You covered this up and you have a culture of cover-ups in your athletic program. 5 years, not a single game played at Michigan State. 5 years, not a single game played.
I'm with you. Totally with you.
It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen because nobody wants it to happen. Oh, those poor women. Hey, by the way, what time's tip-off tonight? And I don't feel that way, but I get the idea that that's what's going on in college sports.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The football program at Michigan State has 16 football players accused of abusing women since 2007. We better reduce the scholarship. By the way, did we get that 5-star defensive tackle? Did we get that wide receiver?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's what we're talking about. There would be people at Michigan State who'd be like, oh, fire the football coach, maybe Jim Harbaugh, maybe. Like, that's what the mindset would be.
And that really is the problem, right? Anytime something happens, the first reaction is, let's fire him. But yeah. then right after that, what is it? Okay, who's stepping in next?
How do we win games? Well, time to start winning games
right?
again.
So now we're the firing is nullified because people are just viewing it. I mean, the proverbial you. People are just viewing it as an opportunity, and that's the biggest problem.
Michigan State is so incredibly frustrating because it's
Penn State.
Well,
they just fall in with everything else. They fall in with Penn State, Louisville, Baylor, all of it.
And
Stanford.
By the way, we complain about the Pac-12 out these way yonder here in the desert.
Out here in the sticks.
Because Larry Scott's an idiot. But we complain about the Pac-12. If you're a Big Ten athletic fan, you've got Penn State and Michigan State now.
Yeah.
Sexual assault condoners.
Yeah.
Like sexual battery condoners. Like, who's watching over the Big Ten these days? Because I don't get the feeling that many people are watching over the Big Ten at all,
yeah.
to be honest with you. I don't get that. Hey, follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. You would have seen me rooting openly for Tiger Woods today. Speaking of sexual abusers, because Tiger, and abuse is probably strong, sexual addicts. It's not like Tiger Woods was out assaulting people. He was just out tapping ass all over the world.
Yeah.
And some people consider him a hero for that. I'm not one of those.
Right.
But the not husband of the year. By the way, if you're Tiger Woods, and just let me recap this real quick, okay? If you're Tiger Woods and you lost Elin Woods, who, by the way, is not that bad on the ice. Elin Woods is a mildly attractive hot piece of ass, right?
Right.
So
right,
then you lose
right.
her because she hit you in the face with a golf club. Right, you remember that, and then you got up.
That sounds
up,
uncomfortable.
You got up on some kind of drugs and drove your Cadillac into a curb and jacked it up, and then lost your entire golf career. You were able to rebound from that and get Lindsey Vonn, who sent you photos of her pleasuring herself in a bathtub with water, and then you cheated on her, just
Why?
Like you cheated
Why?
On Elin Woods.
Why?
I'm saying I get that when you're rich, you can buy anything you want. But at some point, and I said to my wife the other day, what is wrong with Lindsey Vonn that she wound up dating Tiger Woods? Somebody help me with this, right? Because Tiger Woods isn't having sex with, the highfalutin type.
Right.
He's having sex with waitresses at Perkins, which is essentially... He had sex with
He's out back. He's out back at Denny's getting it.
In an SUV having sex with a waitress at
Is that the same SUV he ran over that curb?
When his dad died, he was in bed with a call girl.
Ooh.
How did you find out? Ugh. Oh, Tiger. Yeah, by the way, how did you find out your dad had passed away? Oh, yeah, I remember that. Were you on the golf course or something? No.
But I was driving it.
I was on the third tee going deep.
Hole in one.
Like that, he was in bed with a call girl, right? Like,
great point, great point. He's not banging Stormy.
Well, this is true.
That's a great point.
This is true. Stormy belongs to the dutard. So,
Trumpster.
Like, Tiger knows better than to go after Donald Trump, I would think at this point. Although, yeah. You can't tell me they haven't golfed together.
Oh.
Come on.
Come on.
Both of them are prolific Florida golfers. Anyway, my point is, how do you screw up Elin Woods, a bunch of porn stars, hookers, Perkins waitresses, and then redeem yourself with Lindsey Vonn, who, by the way, won again this weekend and is still amazingly hot.
Yeah, she's a baller.
And then you cheated on her. Like, I don't get it. Anyway, Tiger made the cut today.
With a clutch putt.
And I say, hey, I'm actually rooting for Tiger Woods. He's a terrible human being.
I think all the debauchery has kind of fallen off into the past now. I think people are starting to get past it.
Back to sex with Lindsey Vonn.
Right. Yeah.
Her phone got hacked.
New phone, who dis?
They were sending nude videos and pictures to each other. This was, a year ago her phone got hacked?
Yeah.
It's not like she's in the distant past.
No, I'm not saying she is. I'm saying people are more focused on his health recovery than all the debauchery.
You know what this is? This is idiot Irish golfer whose name I cannot remember for some reason. Oh, my goodness. The young stud, the Irish young. Anyway.
Rory McIlroy.
This is Rory McIlroy, jilting the hot tennis player at the altar. Help me.
Was it Wozniacki?
Yes. Caroline Wozniacki. Yes. Help me. Hell, is this thing on? Rory, look, hey. Hey, Rory, it's Monty. How you doing, buddy? All right, good. I'm glad you hit him straight. No, no, look, pull back. Anyway, point is, listen. No, Rory, seriously. Roar. Hey, Roar Dog. Roar Dog. Let me, bruh. Hey, broski. Brocephalofa. Carolina Wozniacki was fine. By the way, she's engaged.
No.
Yes. I'm just saying. That's the kind of life that I needed to, like, see, I don't get it. I don't get it. I married way over my head, admittedly. And that was good enough for me. Like, at what point does Tiger Woods be like, what point does he wake up, roll over, and see Lindsay freaking Vaughn there? And be like, oh, yeah, I'm cured.
It's over. It's over. I'm done.
Porn stars, no. Anyway, Tiger Woods made the cut. Are you rooting for him?
Yeah, I am. Savagely, I am. I want to see him do well. And I'm not a huge golf fan. I think he brings people like me.
It's golf, please. Yeah.
No, I think he brings people like me to the TV.
Jake's on the tee. Quiet, please. Everybody quiet. Anyway, he brings people like you. Because you're not a huge
I'm not a golf fan.
Guy.
You know, like, I watch occasionally. Not avidly. I don't follow the sport. I follow Tiger.
Do you have a favorite golfer?
Not particularly. It's probably Tiger.
Tiger or
Tiger is the most entertaining by far.
You know, I'm a terrible person. I can't think.
Dustin Johnson's fun to watch.
I want another guy. He cheated on Gretzky's daughter.
Yeah.
After doing coke.
Anyway.
I'm rooting for Tiger. I am. And I think golf needs Tiger. Golf is boring right now. And I wish that golf was not boring, and I wish that I was pulled to something more than a major.
Yeah.
The Phoenix Open's coming up here in 2 weeks or whatever it is.
Crazy.
I love watching guys. I like Ricky Fowler. I wish he'd win. I really do like Ricky Fowler. He's fun to watch. I look at Nate like Lexi Thompson. I actually enjoy watching Lexi Thompson.
She just bought a GTR.
You have awesome forearms there, Jake.
Yeah.
I enjoy watching Lexi Thompson. She did buy a GTR, and she's customizing it, by the way. So I like the personalities around the game, but I need Jordan Spieth to be better.
Yeah.
I need Tiger Woods to be better. I need somebody that I can hang on to in
golf.
That
you can gravitate to.
Yeah, I need somebody that I can be like, this is why I'm watching.
That is Tiger.
Well, it used to be Tiger.
I think it is now. I think it still is now. I think people are back on golf because Tiger is back. They want to see a nice story.
You really think people care?
Yeah, I do. I think people care, yeah. I think people
more
care.
More people rooting for or against Tiger?
I think there's more people rooting for him because I think
no
people.
Way.
I think
no,
nah, I think
no
people, I think
way.
People don't. I think people don't put as much weight into that stuff anymore because of where our world is at now.
You think there's more people rooting for him in this Me Too moment era? You think there's more people in an era where Hollywood is done with sexual assault? You think there's more people rooting for Tiger Woods than against him?
Yeah.
Oh,
I do.
I think you're nuts.
I think there's a lot of people in
you're
the world.
You're nuts, man. I don't know. Maybe, hey, it could just be me. I'm open to the idea that I'm not essentially right about this, but I have a real problem thinking there's a lot of people rooting for him. Follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show, MONTY, The Monty Show. Do you care about Jamil Hill leaving SC6?
Not even the slightest bit.
Who are you
bit.
Pointing at on Periscope?
Smoking Bones Utah just joined the show on Periscope.
Yeah, Smoking
Bones. And I saw that and I was just like, yes.
Smoking Bones.
Yes.
Do you care about Jamil Hill?
No, not even a little bit.
She
doesn't even bring me to the TV. And furthermore, their show, I watched their show for about 3 minutes once and I turned it off because I'm serious, because it's not interesting to me. They don't bring enough energy to the table.
Well, let's be honest about it. Is SC6 too geared towards Black America?
I don't think it's too geared towards Black America. I think the personalities of Michael Smith and Jamil Hill are just not for me. And I don't enjoy the energy they bring to the table. It's much more low key than the other anchors throughout the day, like CNN is another
good
example.
They're in t-shirts and jeans and
casual.
Yeah,
you know, it's very casual. And for me, with our lifestyle, we get home at different times each day. So I'm catching somebody besides them most times. Yeah. So when I flip it on at 6,
yeah.
It just not where I want to be.
I just don't enjoy their stylistically. I don't enjoy them. I don't.
And like today, their entire show is dedicated to covering Michigan State, the whole scandal.
And they opened the show saying we're going to do the whole thing on Michigan State. But I do hear the criticism that they are too geared towards Black America.
And this is saying they're geared towards the left. Their Periscope is saying they're geared too far to the left.
Well, but that's who Jemele Hill is, though, isn't it? I mean, she was suspended from ESPN for calling Donald Trump a white supremacist.
Yeah.
On Twitter, by the way. Are they left-leaning? Sure. I mean,
but clearly she has mad respect amongst her peers. I mean, after everything that they did, nobody would fill in for, like, they did the whole thing.
Right, because I agreed with that, though. I don't think ESPN should have suspended her for something she said on Twitter. Now they have you sign a contract that includes a social media policy, so I get that. But my point with Jemele Hill is I just don't think she's great on TV. She's a world-class writer. She's one of the best writers in the world, and she's going to, for those of you who don't know, Jemele Hill is not leaving ESPN. She's going to focus on their website, The Undefeated, which, by the way, I've never looked at. I looked at it for the first time today. She's going to focus on The Undefeated, which, hey, that's cool. I mean, she wants to get back to her roots is what she said. I think some of this is sour grapes, frankly, because I think she's so tired of having to deal with ESPN television. But I do see that she's a really talented writer. I think she's terrible on TV.
And I think she's someone that really needs to be able to freely express her opinions on things. And I think when you're a TV anchor doing SC6, SportsCenter at 6, that's not necessarily the best platform to do that. So that's why I think the Twitter thing happened, because she was just tired of it and she had an outburst on some level. And I think as a writer, it's much easier to write something out, proofread, understand what you're saying, and then it gets put out, as opposed to a 5-second tweet that's going to catch you fire.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to be politically correct, and I guess I probably shouldn't be, because when have I ever been? I just don't care about this girl.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many people tweeting about Jemele Hill leaving SC6. It's like, man, I don't care. I'm trying
to care.
She's
not relevant in our lives. I mean, she is very relevant, though.
Very relevant? Is she very relevant?
On Twitter, she is.
Yeah, I'm trying not to be a jerk about it. I get it. Jemele Hill leaves SC6 to go to The Undefeated. Lonzo Ball will be leaving Los Angeles in the offseason for Lithuania. We get it. The Balls are huge. They have huge ball presence in Lithuania.
Yeah.
Right? Like, right. I mean, right. Yeah, big baller, yeah. Everything. Lonzo Ball apparently can rap.
Really?
And he has I didn't know that. And yeah, he's like laid down rap tracks and all that good stuff, which, hey, that's cool. If you got talent for dropping the ones and twos, yeah, I get that.
So
I
keep putting his name Lil Lonzo?
Lil. It's not Little Lonzo. It's Lil Lonzo, please.
Yeah.
But he's going to go and do a rap concert in Lithuania this summer. How bad is that going to be? I have a feeling it's going to be bad.
So the only experience I have with Lonzo Ball rapping is an Instagram video that went around for a little while.
Oh, and that was a hot Instagram video.
And he killed the freestyle. I mean, it was good. And it was so basically, if you haven't seen the video, it's him, LaMelo, and one of their boys sitting in an SUV.
Don't start telling Lonzo, me that he's got talent.
I'm not saying he's got talent. I'm just saying he happened to do a good freestyle right in that moment. Lonzo's sitting in the driver's seat. LaMelo's sitting directly behind him in the passenger seat, and his boy is directly to his left, or to his right, rather. And so Lonzo's putting down the bars, and LaMelo's in the back with like 100 different pairs of shoes, like, look at me.
No, I'm not. I don't care. I won't be watching that.
Do you think Damian Lillard's a good rapper? Because I haven't listened to his stuff, but everybody likes him.
Everybody says he's good. Yeah, I've seen that everybody says he's good. I don't listen to basketball players.
KD's laid down a couple tracks, allegedly.
What about Allen Iverson, 40 bars, and Kobe Bryant had that terrible run at it.
Why is this a thing?
I don't. Because everybody wants to be a rap star.
It's not good enough to be a professional basketball player. You got to be a rap star.
Apparently. It's not good enough to be a professional golfer. Tiger has to be a porn star. It's not good enough to... But you know what I mean? Like, when is it ever going to... Money... See, everybody equates money with happiness. money has never bought you happiness. And we talk about this all the time. So Jake's 24 and he essentially is single. He's got a, you have a girl that's a friend, right? Like,
Do you have a girlfriend? Yeah. No, I'm not single. I have a girlfriend.
Nice girl.
Yeah.
But you're not married. When I say you're single, you're not married. You're dating a girl.
Yeah.
But you're a restless wanderer. You're a guy that's restless. You're always, you don't.
Well, we work too much. That's the first problem. First problem is we work too much. Second problem is right now, like, so when you're an entrepreneur, you start your own business, you go through the
Shaq also had a rap album.
Good point.
Periscope.
So when you start a business as an entrepreneur, the first couple years can be tight financially. You got a lot of expenses. You're trying to grow your business. So it is what it is. And that's where we're at. So for me, it'd be nice if I was making $5,000 a month. Wouldn't everybody be nice to have that? But we aren't. It's that simple. Yeah. You know, like, so it, yeah.
We literally have like drafts of housing and floor plans sitting
on. So yeah, as a 24 year old, yeah, I get restless sometimes.
You do. But I think that's the problem, is that money's never good enough. And for guys that are single, I'm telling you, is this the wife edition? For guys that are single, I'm telling you, when you settle down and you find the one that is the one forever, like, it changes the fabric of your DNA.
But I don't think that's as easy to find as it used to be in today's world.
It's not. I guess it shouldn't be. If finding a wife was easy, everybody would be married and nobody would get divorced.
I'm not saying I want it to be easy, but what I am saying is I think the world's a lot more complicated today than it was when you were 24 and the generation before you was 24.
Well, and you're worried about dying in nuclear wars. Yeah. We talked about on the show yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
And I do think the world is very different. But I don't want to hear Lonzo rap.
Yeah.
I don't. Hey, by the way, speaking of getting tased, Milwaukee Bucks rookie Sterling Brown got tased last night at 2 in the morning in a Walgreens parking lot. Now, you may wonder, how did he find himself tangled in any electronic controlled device?
Whoa.
Because that's what the Milwaukee police said they used on him, was a electronic controlled device.
Which, I mean, I guess it is.
See, it turns out the rookie Sterling Brown parked in not one, but two handicap spots, like across, long way parked across two handicap spots.
So he's a big baller.
At 2 in the morning in front of a Walgreens that was closed. So when cops approached, he didn't take it well. And he got into a physical altercation with them. And yeah, he was brought down by an electronic control device.
Otherwise known as a taser.
At 2 a.m.
Yeah.
He got electronically controlled by a device.
Have you ever parked like that? Have you ever parked a long way across several handicapped spots? Now, you're a truck guy now. You used to be a beam guy, but now you're a truck guy. So you have more lane.
Me?
Yeah.
I would never. Yes, I have parked like that. I am not the handicap spot parker. You can say I'm an asshole about a lot of things I do while I'm driving, and I am. I am a horn honker. I am not the guy that you should cut off. When I had a twin-turbo V6 535 M Sport, I was not the guy that you should cut off because I would cut you off. I am the brake checker. I am the horn honker. I am a bit of a feisty driver, but I live in Arizona and everybody here can't drive. Nobody here can drive.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Assume the worst in everybody.
And you've gotten better. You're an okay driver.
And you're a perfect driver.
You make me nervous as hell. I'm not a perfect driver. I used to be a text and driver. Now you are my secretary.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not a texter. I think I'm a B+ driver. I speed too much.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some things that drive me crazy. Parking in handicapped spots when you're not handicapped drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that. And I am not afraid to say something.
Dude on Periscope just said he parked in two spots and took up four spots. So he parked on the line between two spots, backed up, and then took up all four spots.
What kind of car is that?
Yeah, what kind of car you got
there? I need to know what kind of car that is. But you know, I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
There are so many little things I hate about the way people drive.
It was an Acura.
Okay, wait. You took up four spots in an Acura.
Yeah. And then he said someone left him a note.
Thank you. That you, they should have left you a note. You're in an Acura. Was it an NSX? Was it a TL? What was it? You can't take up four spots in an Acura. And if you tell me Acura SUV, you're kicked out. Do not tell me Acura cross. No, it wasn't an SUV. It was a crossover. What was it?
It was a TL. It was a TL.
Okay, well, I can
That's
get down with a TL.
It's respectable.
A TL is a nice automobile.
Yeah.
So I can get down with that. It's still an Acura. Anyway, the point is, I'm not that guy. But like today at the grocery store, there was an old man who had one leg. And he was on one of those little buddy go-karts or whatever you call them. You know, the cart at the beep, beep, the bat. The
it's
cart
like
you,
a scooter, but yeah. It's got the shopping cart in
yeah,
front.
Yeah. And he pulls up to the grapes in the produce section.
Oh, this is
section.
Dirty right here.
It's not dirty.
It
what
is.
He did is dirty. This dude pulls up to the grapes in his little buddy go-kart with his one leg cut off. And I get it. Oh hey, I get God. It. That sucks not to have two legs. I've got three, so I can imagine what one would be like. But the point is, he pulls up to the grapes and starts eating the grapes out of a bag of grapes at Fry's grocery store. He starts eating the grapes out of the bag. And I walk by him while he's doing it. I'm like, hey, how are those grapes? And I just keep on going. And he followed us around for like 2 hours. Like, that drives me nuts. But see, here's the other thing. I'm not sure how we got here. What?
Homie with the Acura had to leave.
Oh,
he said, we're glad that we're back, and he had to go.
I appreciate that. This grocery store really bothers me.
It's sketch.
We built a house. Essentially, we're
he said, another Periscoper, that's like driving a Prius through the frozen section.
Thank you. The point is, so this grocery store, is this too harsh? We built a new house in a really poor neighborhood so some folks are homeless so we can live here. That's not true. That's actually...
That's a little harsh.
Gentrification is real in Phoenix.
It is.
Anyway, we built a new house in a nice area that's in the middle of a really crappy area, right?
Yeah,
so there's a bunch of like...
It's kind of expanding out,
yeah,
essentially.
Like Donald Trump's shithole country people all live around us. Trust me,
okay,
they're all right here.
Okay.
That was probably too far. The point is, you go to this Fry's grocery store, and it is a really nice... Think Whole Foods, but nicer. Like the nice Fry's marketplaces in Phoenix are really nice. This is a Fry's marketplace where all the poor people shop.
Yeah.
You get a class of people who just don't care. So you constantly see like broken spaghetti jars on the ground in this store.
Yeah.
You see people eating fruit out of the bags.
There's a security guard at the door.
There is a security guard at the door. You see parents with their kids eating out of the bulk food bins.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so this is not a great store to shop at. And my wife and I have even talked about not shopping there, but there's not really another choice around here. Because until we push more of the poor people out, we don't have anywhere to build a new grocery store.
You can't say that with a straight face. Come on.
Totally kidding. Anyway, point is, there's not really another option around here. And
well, there is a Target down the way, but that's not really...
It's right next door to the poor people Fry's. By the way, one other... Just indulge me on a quick riff.
Yeah.
There's three Fry's within 2 miles.
Uh-huh.
The one that's a marketplace has really nice organic foods and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The one that's...
And that's the one we go to.
Yeah, that's the one we go to because it's really expensive.
Yeah.
The crap hole Fry's that just has refined foods, mac and cheese from like four different generic
college
boxes.
Student fries.
Yeah, Top Ramen. I asked the manager in that store, hey, is this like where the unhealthy people eat? And she's like, well, it is a different category of store. We serve a different category of products. Which is to say you're killing people with the shit you put on your shelves. That's what that store is doing, right? Like, they're putting mac and cheese from Jimmy Bob's fine meat processing
plant.
You
mean Annie's.
No, well, they don't carry Annie's. Like, this Fry's is so bad that they have, like, boxes from, like, Jamie's food processing, which is to say the dumpster behind the nice Fry's, they just pour that stuff back in there
and
sell it.
So wait, is this like the mac and cheese that Tiger's eating out back? Is that what you're saying? Sorry. My bad.
That didn't work there. The point is, I think it's terrible the way that we market cheap food to poor people. I think it's really bad. That really bothers me. By the way, just to finish up on the driving thing. Give me a grade my driving.
Just as a driver, like around town. In general. I think you're a great driver. I think you have zero patience as a driver. Zero patience as a driver. Like
I do have zero in life too. In life, I have zero patience in life. Right, like that's plain and clear. Hey, I also want to get to this NBA All-Star thing that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not real happy about the captain's picks and the way that went down.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think we were talking about this yesterday again, that LeBron's team is way better than Steph's team.
Way better.
And I'm not even a LeBron guy. It pains me to say that. LeBron's way team better. Is like 2-1 better.
Yeah, right? Way better.
So there's a lot of – I was reading earlier today that there's a lot of people – like there was a guy on Twitter who said that guys don't want to be on TV because like Russell Westbrook wouldn't want it to be televised because his reputation would be hurt.
So I just refreshed my Twitter feed.
Oh, God.
Can I say semen on this show?
Yes.
Oh, wait. It's a podcast. I can. Here's the first headline that came up on my Twitter feed. Shock. Weinstein's secretary cleans up semen, says lawsuit.
Is this thing on?
Hey, can you give me a cup of coffee and clean up that semen over there? Thanks, sweetie.
Oh, my
Harvey
God.
Weinstein's former secretary is suing him because she was asked to clean up his personal DNA.
Dude, that's not cool.
Are you, like, what is wrong with people? Anyway... All-Star game selection. What would you, if you were in complete control, how would you do it?
What would happen is top vote getter every year we get to pick. And it does not matter if it's LeBron and Steph every year. I don't care. Whoever gets the most votes every year gets to pick the team.
The top two are the captains.
Top two, no matter what. And there's no repetition rule.
Okay, when should they pick their teams?
They should pick it before the game. So what should happen is all the All-Stars should get introduced. And then captains should get introduced, and then you just pick it like a schoolyard. That's it, and that's how it goes. And then
like
after,
in a pickup game,
like just like any
See,
other.
See, I love
game.
That. If and the NBA All Star Game was a pickup game, hell yes, I'd watch a
and
lot.
And then
more.
What would happen is after you picked your team, you'd have to say, okay, here are the four other guys that are going to start with me, and then that's it. You play the game. That's it.
Are you interested in this All Star Game?
I want to watch it. I want to see what happens. Not for like score wise, but I just want to see how it feels. If it feels any different, what?
I got to turn Twitter off. Another kid died from a Tide Pod.
Help me.
I don't. Help me. This is the flu thing. Okay, wait. Let's finish up the All Star conversation. We'll finish the podcast talking about flu shots and whether.
So anyway, my point is that. Whoever the captain is, all the guys should be introduced, and then you pick your team, and then we play the game. That seems just fine to me.
Like, so 2 minutes before tip-off,
yeah.
LeBron and Steph pick their team. I think that's great.
And I think it's hey, here are the two captains. They get announced. They're standing at mid-court with the refs in the middle.
And then you
have a pool of all the rest of the All-Stars that were voted by the fans. And then you just pick from the pool, and that's
I love it.
It.
I love it. By the way, I'm not a Russell Westbrook fan. My guy, Ben Napoleon Wilson, who he said, Russell Westbrook said, this N-word is tripping. This is tripping. Ben Wilson's never forgiven him for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, point is, Russell Westbrook is so unintelligent. Okay? He went to UCLA, which should tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know what that should tell you. The point is,
yeah.
He went to UCLA. He thought that he got picked last in the All-Star captain's picks. And then somebody said, dude, you didn't get picked last. It's just your name starts with W, so you're at the bottom of the list. Like, how stupid are you, bro?
Oh, my God.
How dumb are you?
Help me.
That's a true story. Absolutely a true story.
Dude.
Let's wrap up the Monty Show podcast today talking about flu shots and Tide Pods. Are you getting a flu shot? Because you were freaking out before the show today saying, oh, my God, somebody else died from the flu. 37 are dead. Help
37
me.
Are dead. More will come.
Okay, so you're the guy who won't take his vitamins every day. I religiously have taken vitamins because I'm a perfect human being.
Right.
I've religiously taken vitamins for like 20 years. Mainly my wife said, hey, fat ass, take your vitamins. So I've taken vitamins religiously for like 20 years.
Yeah.
You won't take them on a daily basis. I have to say, hey, did you take your vitamins? Mm-hmm. And you're usually like, yeah, I did. Yep, I took one right here. But the point is, I do everything I can do to live really a long time. I don't listen to Kanye.
I need you right now. Let's get.
And usually I don't listen to Kanye. No, I'm kidding. I don't look at Kim Kardashian, who keeps posting nude pictures on Instagram.
Yeah.
But I do not get flu shots ever. I never do. My wife gets a flu shot every single year and proceeds to get the flu like 3 times.
Yeah.
I don't get a flu
shot.
And
she just got past it.
She did, but she fought it. My wife got a little like cough sniffly thing for 2 days and then she was over it.
Yeah.
But I knock on countertop. I freaked my dogs out knocking on the countertop. Anyway, I knocked on my desk. And my dogs thought somebody was at the door. Like, I have that power to do that. Anyway, sorry, I have dogs. The point is, I don't get flu shots. And I don't get the flu. My wife gets flu shots. She gets the flu multiple times every year. So knock on wood, I never get a flu shot. And, yeah, I don't get the flu. Are you going to get a flu shot?
Nope.
Because it doesn't work. The flu this year, influenza, is so bad that the current flu shot technology does not stop it.
10% effective.
That's ridiculous.
Why would I get it?
Why would you? And if you're on Periscope or Twitter right now, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show, or YouTube Live, I'd love to hear from people who get a flu shot. Do you believe that that's going to save you? I don't believe the flu shot will save you.
No. No. Hell no.
Again, my wife gets a flu shot, and she gets the flu 10 times a year.
Okay, 3,
she's
not
like
10.
Standing right here, and it's just annoying to her that I say that all the time. But I just have never been a flu shot believer. But the flu shot is so bad, and if you watch YouTube Live, my wife is in the shot. The flu is so bad, does it scare you to get the... Like, it was 49 degrees when we left the house. Say I left in a polo shirt and shorts. And wow. I froze. But I'm not worried about getting the flu. Am I an idiot, or...?
I probably would be wearing a hoodie in the cold. Like, I have tried to be more conscious of that. Like, after the gym. I'm not going to go to the gym, sweat a bunch, walk outside into cold air, and expect not to get sick.
Like, I would agree with that.
You know.
I would agree with that. So, speaking of killing yourself... Headline from The Verge. Despite YouTube and Amazon's efforts, record numbers of teens are still eating Tide Pods. Help me understand this. So
why is this cool?
I don't know. We're YouTubers, right? We put up YouTube videos of our flips and stuff like that. People are eating Tide Pods, putting it on YouTube, and then promptly dying. Like, it's really bad for you. 39 cases of teenagers intentionally eating the pods in their entirety. And 53 cases in 2017, they've already doubled that number in 2018. YouTube has already committed to taking down any videos of people eating Tide Pods. Like, where are their parents?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, there's no way to explain it.
Don't eat Tide Pods. Why are you being stupid? Like,
It's foolish. It makes no sense.
Did you do stupid things as a kid?
Like, I mean, my stupid things weren't deadly.
What are the dumbest things you ever did?
I made Kool-Aid with salt instead of sugar once. Yeah. Because it was in a jar on the counter. I was like 7. I know.
Help me. You made Kool-Aid with salt instead of sugar once.
Yeah, I did.
That was at your mom's house, I take it. Yeah, that wasn't in my house. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, it just...
That would not have worked here.
Because what happened was is that they're sitting next to each other. They're sitting, like, in a glass jar.
No, what happened really is you're dumb.
Okay, look, I was 7. Give me some slack. I didn't have to worry about YouTube when I was, like, 10 years old.
Hey, idiot, you made Kool-Aid with salt instead of sugar. If that's not bad enough, I'll admit that as a kid, and I've told this story 100 times, this is not the first time I've talked about this. As a kid, I lit bullets on fire.
Oh. See, like, that's deadly.
Yeah, so I lived in Lincolnshire, Illinois, lived next to a huge park right on the Des Plaines River. And I had a lot of time on my hands, right? And I was a superstar, as the song says. And so I had a friend named Keith Horowitz, who I committed major crimes with. Keith Horowitz and I filled up a can of gasoline, poured it into a Folgers coffee can that my mom had discarded in the trash. Okay, that's a lie. We poured out the coffee grounds on the ground. And she was, I got, quick story, I got grounded because I poured the coffee grounds out, not because I lit the bullets on fire, just so you're aware. Anyway, so what we started doing, this is Monty the Degenerate Child. We filled the can up with gas, poured it in the river, and lit the river on fire. All right, that was pretty cool. The gas floats on top of the water. It looks like the river's on fire. Hopefully it doesn't start a brush fire. All right, nifty. Well, that got boring, lighting the river on fire. So we decided to go back to Keith's house and get shotgun shells.
Dude.
And we lit the can of gasoline. We threw a match into the can of gasoline, and it was burning. We threw the shotgun shell in there, and it took like 5 seconds for that thing to fucking explode. Scared the daylights out of me. You think I would have stopped, right? Being the intelligent guy that I am, you would have thought, okay, I'm out.
Right.
No, he had 22 bullets, like 22 caliber bullets. So we started throwing the 22 caliber bullets in there. This time we hid behind trees. It was fine. But then we lit charcoal briquettes on fire.
So you were lit.
What we did is we lined up a bunch of bullets on a barbecue in a park, lit briquettes, and then when they started exploding, we started running. The tree, I ran by a tree, and the bullet hit the tree.
Jeez, dude.
Scared the living daylights out of me. That same night, because I am so dense, we went ding-dong ditching. And I think I told you this story. So we went ding-dong ditching because we felt empowered as we had stolen pocket knives from Keith Horowitz's father's closet. So we had these big, like, and they were more like buck knives. It was a pretty big knife, or at least then it felt like it. It's in the middle of your hand, and it fills your palm up. And so you're like, man, I am unbelievable. My whole hand is full.
Yeah, we get it.
Get it what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
We get it.
Anyway,
tiger.
So we're running. We go and ding-dong ditch this guy's house. We run down the street, and Keith realizes he had dropped his knife on the guy's front lawn. We circle back. Of course, long story short, Keith picks up the knife, the porch lights come on, the guy comes out. We're now running down Riverwoods Road. We are sprinting down Riverwoods Road. The guy is not catching us, but he's close to us, close enough that he threw a camping flashlight and hit me in the shoulder.
Jeez.
And I almost fell over. It terrorized me. It absolutely terrorized me. Don't do that this weekend or next weekend, but you should follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. See you Monday. See ya. If you are what you say.